afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And I'm Melody Cederstrom. And I also have my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, joining you today. And we're going to bring you our opinions and commentary on the political and economic issues of the day. And today is July 11th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I know you're doing great today. I can tell in your voice. You're just bouncing off the walls.
It is a good day today.
I mean, the Dow hit a record high, and everything's hunky-dory.
Yes. How about that?
Yes.
I can go on vacation now?
Absolutely. Well, I'll share this very quickly. I mean, I found a place you can go and have a blast. This, you can now rent, it says, a 1MBD-linked yacht for only $1.25 million a year. It's 300 foot long. It's a super yacht. And it's docked in South China. The super yacht called Tranquility is now moored at La Po Port. Now it's in Cannes, French right now, Riviera. But it's only $1.25 million for a whole week. Now that doesn't include fuel, crew and other charges. But there you go, Melody. Go enjoy your week. Spend a minute and a half. Don't worry about it.
All right. Maybe we'll bring all the listeners along with us.
Okay. I'll be right there.
The thousands and thousands. Do you think we could fit all those people on board?
Oh, I'm sure we. But nothing else. We do it two weeks. Make it all go down there. Yeah. There's always a way.
There's always a way. All right. Well, let's get to some serious stuff.
We're serious.
Well, there's predictions out there about gold pricing at $85,000 an ounce. We'll be able to buy one for every day of the week. One of those.
Absolutely.
Shows.
If that goes to that, man, oh man, we'll all take a vacation.
You betcha.
All right.
But
right now,
now
you go
we
ahead.
Have to. Right now, we have to settle on gold at $1,407.80. A little pressure. $12. But after a super day like yesterday, it's okay. Silver was down 11 pennies at 1520. Platinum was down 3 at 827. Palladium was down 34 at 1566. I think we saw a little weakness in the dollar, down 0.04 at 97.05. I just think it was the white metals that really brought down a lot of brought down gold and silver. But let's just see if we can hold this 1400 price. Crude oil was up 2 pennies at 60.45. Paper markets today, the stock market has now $2.21 trillion companies. Amazing. The Dow over 27,000, first time ever, up 227 points to 27,088. The NASDAQ was down 6 at 8,196, and the S&P barely 2,999.91, almost 3,000 on the close. Couldn't do it. Did cross over, I believe, yesterday. I'm sure it probably did today, but didn't hold. So we have two records right there. And the 10-year yield, 2.12%. That popped 0.06. And
may I ask you a question, Melody? What did gold close out yesterday? Because I didn't get it here.
Gold was up $20 yesterday. Gold was up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had a nice day. We had a nice day yesterday.
It's holding around 1,400 now, which is an increase for the last 3 months. That's a pretty good increase.
Yeah, I was actually going back. I was trying to get some comparisons done today. Back in, I didn't get it finished. You were looking at gold was 1188, I believe, October of last year.
Yes.
1188 for October of last year. So a nice run. Let's hope we can keep it. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, we focus so much on the prices of things, and particularly, you know, on gold and silver. But it isn't about the price. It's about what it's going to do. It's part of it, but it's not the only thing. And it's going to do so much more in protecting your purchasing power. And but price is a nice thing to look at.
It just proves what we've been saying all along, that gold or silver, precious metals, never go to nothing, and they're going to go up when everything else drops. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, all those millions of dollars are going to be coming into the gold market. The only reason, you know, one way they were able to, and then we're going to move on and talk about some other things, but as we, one way they manipulated gold is they watered down the industries. You know, at one point in time in the 90s, what could you buy? Sure, you could do options and so forth, but people didn't want to pay. People didn't want to play the options market. So you're looking at, you had miners and you had physical gold. Then they created the ETFs. Look at the amount of money in those ETFs and the gold-backed ETFs. Even if half of that money was in the physical market of gold, where do you think gold prices would be? So it watered it down a little bit.
Absolutely.
Then, voila, they created the cryptocurrencies. Is crypto better than gold? Absolutely is not. It's stupid to even think so. But people chase gains. Then with gains, they fell into the crypto. So if some of that money, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of money in the cryptocurrency markets that should be in gold. So again, it was another way they watered down this money. There's other places where this money is going, and but eventually, when it hits the fan, all that money is going to come out of these reckless investments, and they're going to be looking for that one true safe haven. And there's only one.
Something solid,
something real, real money, not a promise, and that's going to be gold.
Well, you know,
in that way.
And you think about it, crypto is worth less than paper, because at least with paper you got something in your hand.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You know, so there you go.
So, well,
even
crypto
I figured
is nothing.
That out.
Yeah, you're
right.
Right. Crypto is nothing.
It is nothing.
So what's next?
I want you to explain this. Deutsche Bank was crashing. I mean, they're laying off 18,000 employees. And it's just amazing that we're talking about the Deutsche Bank, which is the largest one in Europe, German bank, isn't that true?
And they have lots of dividends.
They do.
Not dividends, but derivatives. Derivatives.
And derivatives are air. They're air.
They're promises.
That's right. Just like a promissory note, or Bitcoin, they're air. And 18,000 employees lay off. How many do they have to start with? And now, according to this article, that the bank is going down. It's about ready to, it's falling. What's that going to mean to the world economy, Melody, when this happens?
Well, you know, I did a program last night with James Corbett. It'll air tomorrow, and we touch on Deutsche Bank pretty early on in the program. And you know, he kind of compared it to, you know, is Deutsche Bank then the first Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns? Is this the beginning of it? But, you know, we've seen, I mean, Deutsche Bank has been having issues for a very long time. They're actually created a separate entity to which they can put their bad assets. And it's no difference than what Bank of America did. I remember they created a different department so that, you know, they moved all their derivatives and all their risk investments, so if they fail, taxpayers are on the hook for it. Deutsche Bank's doing the same, so this is basically a restructuring of this bank. And there's probably, if you went to Vegas, you'd probably get some, you know, that it's going to fail. I guess it would be called, what do you call it when you go to Vegas? Some pretty good odds that it's going to fail?
I don't know. I've never been to Vegas, so I couldn't tell you.
So,
I don't want to be. I guess the odds would be. Yeah. So, but if it does fall, would that not cripple a lot of other banks that have invested in this bank somewhat with their different venues?
Well, sure. And they're going to do everything possible to keep it from collapsing. You know, and that's why it's gone through other restructuring phases. So, you know, it's...
Well, if you're going to buy
stocks, you're right.
The share prices are down. Now it'll be time to buy them in case it goes back up. Then if you want to buy stocks and gamble your money.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good bet, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, is this the catalyst? We don't know. But you're right. It's holding a lot of derivatives. And that there's a lot of everything that is tied to that. It's... And we can't forget that's where Donald Trump had a lot of his investments, is through Deutsche Bank.
Again, Bob Chapman warned about derivatives a long time ago. I mean, he warned about those very stringently and told people, you know, don't do this, don't take a chance on this, because it's going to bottom out. And looks like he may. Of course, he's right. It's just a matter of when. But of course, he's right. Right on the money.
So, yep. So this is just something people are not expecting. People don't know about it. People don't care about it.
See, that's what I don't get. They're watching it crumble around them. Literally watching it crumble around them. And the stock market hit 27,000. Everybody's happy-go-lucky. It's wonderful. It's great. And like it just can't ever come to an end. And yet, Deutsche Bank is going under. What should that tell us about the world economy?
I mean, and I think
go ahead.
I think people too also think it's over there. It won't affect us.
Yeah, that there may have been a time that been true, but not any longer.
Yeah, I know.
We are linked
now.
It just can't be any different now. But also, the article here I had no idea. It says net wealth distribution, the bottom 50%. That's probably you and I have 1% of the wealth. Now listen to that. Those at the bottom have nothing. The top 10% have 70% of the wealth. Wow, that is unfathomable. That's just hard to believe. It says 48% of the people own no stocks. Well, I definitely fit in that. I own no stocks, and I don't feel a bit bad about that. But the fact that 50% of the people only have 1% of the wealth and 10% have 70% of the wealth, that's a huge gap, Melody. A huge gap.
Aren't you glad trickle-down economics works?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I guess we've gotten the lower half. I've gotten used to it for so long to get by on basically nothing that we just become accustomed to it. I suppose, but I mean, when you read this article though, and see that the bottom half has really gotten the shaft over the last few decades, you have to wonder. I mean, I thought Trump's tax cut was going to help people in the middle class and below, and the people I've talked to, including my son in Colorado, said he ended up paying more last year in taxes, another $2,000 last year in taxes, that he wouldn't have had to pay without the tax cut.
And you have to remember something too. Our personal tax cuts that we received, whether it helps you or not, they expire in 2024. Only the corporation's tax reform was permanent. So as soon as, what do you think people's taxes? What do you think the taxes are going to be after this so-called tax reform for the people falls away? What do you think the taxes are? If we make it that far, I mean, when you see what our debt is, we're getting record numbers of tax revenue. We're still carrying deficits. You know, yesterday we mentioned that one branch of government, it was probably HHS, is spending $100 billion a month.
A month, yes.
A month.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that's the only one. There's probably other ones that are pretty close to spending that amount, but they didn't hit the magic number of $100 billion. So it's these numbers are just, and the game will be over.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the way they're sustaining now and have people deceived is amazing to me. How can $100 billion a month. How can any organization, government or otherwise, spend that kind of money? How much of it's really going to what's needed for, and how much of it's wasted?
True. But no one talks about any type of reduction.
No, they don't.
Cuts.
No, they don't.
They don't even mention the word. I saw a snippet today. President Trump says, well, you know, you guys better start working on the budget. How about working on, you know, I remember when there was this thing where every department had to cut 5 or 10%. I don't even know if it was that much. Maybe it was 1% or, well, whatever happened to that? They can't cut.
And that was trickery because they said they're going to cut 10 million, but they raised it 85 million to start with and cut 10 million off. You see what I'm saying? They went up $85 million in the budget, we're saying, and they're going to cut 10% of that off. So that was all trickery. Of course, they cut 10%, but they gained $75
million.
Yep. You know, we got to learn to think beyond what we hear on ABC and CBS and all these talking heads that they are ripping us off all the time. When they say they cut it, that you're going to cut this out, they've already increased it to the point they're not going to miss that cut out. Wow. But don't worry, because the Senate's about ready to raise the debt ceiling again. Says it's causing high anxiety. Says senators are growing anxious that they may have to vote to raise the nation's debt ceiling in a matter of weeks, given new estimates that the government could hit its borrowing limit earlier than expected. The debt limit was exceeded earlier this year. The Treasury Department is now taking steps known as extraordinary measures, to prevent the government from going over its borrowing limit. Lawmakers had hoped they would be able to avoid the politically painful vote to raise the debt ceiling until the fall, and that could be packaged with other legislation to fund the government and set budget gaps on spending. Melanie, how many times had the debt ceiling been raised, and how many times was it kept at a higher rate over the last 20 years?
Well, they're going to continue to raise it. I mean, that's not an issue. They go through all the motions and, you know, oh, I'm so distressed. Well, why don't you just do something about it? You know, I mean, why do you think they have to sell all these arms to these countries? That adds to the GDP. Now we're selling arms to Taiwan. You know, we continue to sell arms to the Saudis, even though Congress is trying to stop it. They just get vetoed and overridden, and hey, let's keep supporting more wars and stuff. You know,
insane. If I raise my debt ceiling, that means I'll spend more money and be okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the way it works, why can't we all do that?
I know. Let's go use up our credit cards, and when they get maxed out, we'll just call them up and say, hey, give me some more. But they usually do. But they usually will.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I've known people got in jams over that. I just had a gentleman call me the other day that he found that his wife had gotten him $200,000 in debt from gambling, and he didn't know it.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Found out she'd been gambling, and he didn't know anything about it, and he found out he's $200,000 in debt. So she just kept on spending and getting more credit cards and kept on spending.
Wow.
So that'd be a shocker, wouldn't it?
It would be.
You know, I mean, I can't imagine. I think Marsh and I would have a serious discussion. You might hear clear up to Maryland.
Perhaps. And what you're going to hear us going into a break, because I also hear the music. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter. And you know what I'm going to say? We got some great pricing on some gold and silvers. Coins, gold and silver coins. We have products, American Gold Eagles. Remember, I was selling them at $30 over. Wholesale prices jumped $3. So now they're $33. And if you notice, I said wholesale prices jumped $3. I didn't increase my prices because wholesale jumped $3. I'm only moving them up, the prices, according to the wholesale price. So you're still getting basically the commission that you're paying to me is actually the same, even though you're paying $3 more, because that goes strictly to the wholesalers. So you say, well, Melody, why do you do that? I don't know, because I can. So, you know, it's a great deal for everyone, and it's a win-win situation. I'm not selling product at wholesale, and anyone who does, you should beware, because you can't sell product at wholesale. It's impossible. They got to make a buck somehow. You have to stay in business. And a lot of our funds go back into education. So that's something that I'm proud to say. Very few gold dealers out there do the same. And
I agree.
So that is something I'm proud of. And so we thank you for your support.
You know, so folks, if you haven't called Melody yet, I don't know what I can do to encourage you to call her. Of all the dealers I work with, she's the most straightforward, humble, and totally honest that I've ever dealt with. And I've dealt with some gold dealers over the years. I have. But she has been absolutely the best, sweetest, and kindest one I've ever dealt with, and totally upfront, and will tell you the truth, whether you like her or not, because she wants to help you. If you haven't called Melody Hustrom, then you're playing with somebody else you shouldn't be playing with.
Well, I thank you for that. But I think what's really important is people make a decision.
Absolutely.
To move. Now, whether you buy from me or not, part of all my program and everything is to get you to convert that paper into gold and silver and to take away all the misinformation that, you know, floats on the internet 24/7. And everybody thinks it's gospel. Everybody thinks it's, you know, oh, I heard it online. It must be true. No. There's a lot of misinformation. As we get heated, as we see these prices rise, you're going to hear all kinds of things. You're going to get flooded. You're going to get inundated with all kinds of offers and specials and promises and calls. And if they're calling you, ladies and gentlemen, they're not calling for your benefit. So there's just, and that's what we do. So
that's
yes,
a good point. That's a good point. I like that. That's a good point.
You're welcome. But, that's, you know, I mean, well, thank you. But, I mean, and this is it. You've got to make that decision. You've got to start thinking. The Dow reached 27,000. I don't care if it goes to 50,000. Look at Venezuela. Their market, their stock market, is hitting record highs. And they have 1,000,000% inflation. So how would you like to take those dollars and spend them somewhere? People don't want them because there's nothing they can do with them. They can't buy things with when you have inflation. That's when you're in a hyperinflationary process. So when you're resetting of these currencies and so forth, what do you think you're going to go through? Everybody talks about, oh, you know, we're going to reset. Most people don't even know what reset means or how it's going to affect them. Most people think that the reset's going to happen and they're not going to be affected. So it's going to be a hard lesson that everyone learns. But so, you know, get ahead of the game. And you don't have to, you can at least do the best that you can to help you, your family, your grandchildren, your children. But what's next, Butch?
Oh, my. You got me thinking about how that's going to hurt. You know, even if they started tomorrow and said, we're going to flush the FRE, the Federal Reserve notes, we're going to do away with the fiat currency, and starting tomorrow, we're going to mint gold and silver coins and go back to actual financial footing that will prosper the nation. The time it takes to get all that put back in place would hurt tremendously, at least for a while, because people will lose everything on paper. And they couldn't replace it with gold and silver because the paper's not worth anything.
Paper's not worth anything.
Oh, that would hurt. I mean, billionaires would have nothing to replace, to buy gold and silver with. If the dollar's counted as nothing, stocks and bonds go to nothing, what are they going to buy gold and silver with? Wow. Anyway, get me thinking on that. That's pretty serious. This next article I want to share, at least part of it, because I think it's interesting, says, still trust London with your gold. Now, folks, listen to this. Poland is repatriating gold from overseas after it more than doubled its bullion holdings in the past year. Central banks all over the world have been stocking up on gold in recent years, shifting away from the U.S. dollar. Let that sink in. The National Bank of Poland has bought 100 tons of the precious metal. 100 tons, Melody. That would probably fill my house up. 100 tons of the precious metal since the beginning of the year, nearly four times more than it added to its reserves in 2018. Now, Warsaw wants to bring a significant part of the precious metal back home, repatriating it from the Bank of England. The NBP wants to transfer at least 100 tons and store the repatriated bullion in its own vaults. Now, I got to stop here a second. Why would they put it anywhere else to start with? Why would they trust their financial security with anyone else besides themselves? I mean, a foreign country. Think about it. Melanie, that's insane, is it not?
Well, we think it is.
Folks, why would you ship your hard-earned monies off to someone you don't even know that well and trust them with it? The Polish Central Bank noted that the repatriation comes on account of a central bank's need to diversify the storage of their gold reserves to limit geopolitical risk, which it says could result in losing access to or restriction of the availability of gold resources held abroad. That is absolutely true. If Europe crumbles, where's the gold go? If they're holding gold, say, in Fort Knox, and America crumbles, where's the gold go? Do you think we're going to send it back to them just because they asked for it? In recent months, the Bank of England refused to return 14 tons of gold belonging to Venezuela. Are you listening to me? They need it. Caracas wanted to repatriate some of its bullion holdings to deal with the country's economic crisis, which is exacerbated by the U.S. sanctions. The Bank of England has also kept their reported 80 tons of Australian gold for years, and the U.K. regulator has not allowed Canberra to carry out a proper audit of its bullion holdings. They won't even let them come and check what they have, Melody. They're holding the money. We'll let them have it, and we'll let them come and make sure they still got it. Now, how's that for a deal? Melody, you send me all your gold you want. I'll watch out for it for you. I mean, and we say that laughingly. You can trust me. You know that. But
yeah,
why would
I
you
know.
Send it to a country whose finances are shaky also? Why would you send it to a man who you know is going under and he's going to be desperate? Why would you trust him with your money? He can't even handle his own. Oh.
Well, you know, Butch, I'm going to bring this back a little bit, too. There's always a lot of discussions about storing people's, where they want to store their metals offshore because they think it's more private. They think it's safer in another country. And that's just the exact same reason. It's like, why would you do that? I mean, most people wouldn't let their neighbor hold their gold, but they're willing to send it, you know, across the seas to the other side of the world for storage and thinking that it's safe. Or even up to Canada. No disrespect to the Canadians that are listening to this program, but the point is, once you get your metals over, you know, in a different country, it's just not all that easy just selling it and bringing it back. Because this one company out there, they make you open up these LLCs, they make you do this, and then you have to, you know, it's going to be stored in Canada, and then when you go to sell it, they can't give you the money directly. It has to go into the LLC, and then you have to convert it back, and they cost you these fees and those fees. Why would anybody do that?
Good
question. Number one, they don't tell you up front, and most people don't read the fine print. Storing your metals overseas is probably the, I don't want to say the stupidest thing, because I know a lot of my customers do, and they're far from being, you know, I just don't understand it.
I don't either.
I don't care if you have 20,000 or a million. Now, if you have a couple million and you're spreading your risk, I get that. You want to spread your risk when you have millions of dollars that you want to put into precious metals. Yeah, I get that for storage. Spread your risk. It makes sense. But not when you have 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, 500,000. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, I'm done.
I won't even put it in a bank safety deposit box. What if the IRS decides they want everything I have?
I'd rather have it in a safety deposit box than someplace overseas.
Well, I would too, but that point of it, though, it's not even safe
in
the bank.
And it's all about risk. It's you. Everybody has to know your risk.
That's right.
And accept that risk. And what is the worst case scenario? At least if it's in a safety deposit box, and if the stock market, I turned on the computer in the next morning and I saw that the stock market was down 8,000 points, I'd be taking my little feet to the bank and saying, I want to empty out my safety deposit box today, because I can always put it back.
That's true, but if the bank goes under, or the IRS decides that they want to seize your account,
that's the risk. I agree. That's the risk.
That's it. Keep it yourself. Keep it yourself. Put it where it's safe, and don't worry about it. Put it in your own home in a gun safe.
I mean, I get all that, but some people do have to have a safety deposit box, and I get that too. So, what's my advice to the people who need a safety deposit box? My advice is, if, you know, something looks, we report the news and tell people things that are happening, you know, way far in advance of, you know, if 9/11 happened, you go down and take your stuff out. There's always a gap, usually. When the system fails, there won't be. When the biggie comes, there won't be a gap. You know, you'll wake up to a brand new world. And Butch, you're right. And I agree with you. You get to save and store it where you know it's safe.
Absolutely.
I totally
agree.
But not everybody fits in the same peg. Not every peg is the same, or whatever that is saying is. The key is knowing. You know what I'm saying? Not every...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
I'm
not arguing with you.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I agree.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
I understand what you're saying. But I personally, for no more than I can store and I can afford, I want it where I can get my hands on it. If you know what I'm saying.
When the stock market drops
to nothing and the dollar goes to nothing, I'll still have that in my possession.
What do you think would have happened when we were getting ready to strike Iran? Even though those were very specific and nothing would have happened probably. But what if we woke up one day and there was a strike on an Iran?
Iran struck us.
Or Iran struck us.
Yep, I understand.
And that's not even talking about our financial situations.
No.
So.
I don't know. You know, the price of oil jumped because they're having a storm down in the Gulf. I mean, come on. They're having a storm and the price of oil goes up before the storm even hits. Wow. You know, another thing here I want to share, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this because I know you have car dealers where you are. Dealers are bumper to bumper with SUVs. Car dealers are flush with SUVs just as the economy is slowing. Automakers are rolling out new models of crossovers and sport utility vehicles, but the SUVs are bumper to bumper on dealer lots. Sales of crossovers and SUVs are slowing while models are sitting longer on dealership lots before being sold, and companies are resorting to more sales promotions to keep inventory from piling up, analysts say. And yet, automakers are getting ready to roll out even more sport utility offerings in the next few years for their backpacking U.S. showrooms. I know that in China, they actually cut the price of automobiles 50% to sell them. They had a little bit uptick in sales because they cut the slice of price 50%. Are we heading down the same road here? I mean, is this really true? Are they backed up on inventory and can't sell them? Or, I don't know. I don't deal with cars that much, but it's kind of an interesting article that they're still manufacturing them in great numbers and dealers aren't selling them fast. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think car manufacturers are their worst enemy, but it's just like any other business. You know, they're going to keep pushing out the products that people are buying. And they'll just keep doing it until you get this inventory back up. And, you know, and we know that the loans are 8 years. I mean, you almost get a 30-year mortgage on your car automobile.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
On your auto loan.
Yes.
It's nuts. I mean, everybody talks about the median home of the median price on your home. What about a car? One is $30,000.
It is. I don't know how they do this when these newer vehicles that they're absolutely out of sight in price. Some are $70,000, Melody, and I'm serious. $60,000, $70,000. How do they do that?
I know.
And it's amazing.
I think what we're also experiencing is why we can have that backup is because the past couple of years you've had a lot of leases. And, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years, and these leases come due. And, you know, it can put people in a lot of financial stress if they haven't taken care of their car or if they're over in mileage. If people just think it's great, you lease, you get a lower payment, but they're not responsible. They don't understand the leases.
That's right.
And so when they go to, many of them, maybe they can't turn it around and get into another new vehicle. They have to actually, step down a little bit because they weren't prepared. They didn't plan.
I got snared one of those one time, and I learned my lesson on that one.
Leases are okay if you understand them, and they did make them to the point where, you know, they are easier to get out of them. You can just turn your keys over at the end. You know, I get that. And a lot of them might even be buying their leases, you know, because they can't get into a new vehicle,
right.
So they just buy the car that they have. So,
I'm looking here. I just got my calculator here to figure something, make sure I had it right. A sixty thousand dollar truck. That's about average price on most of them. $40,000 to $60,000, maybe. I'll even go lower than that. Let me just go a bit lower now, because I want to make sure this isn't stretching it. Let's say a $40,000 truck or auto. Okay, $40,000, and I want to see what that works out to, because in my mind, I can't imagine going in debt that much for anything, the $40,000, and you finance 7 years with no interest, that's $555 a month. You change.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Heading into the break, I didn't know if you want to talk any more about that, about a vehicle costing.
Well, the point was, I just made it a $40,000 truck, a new truck, $40,000 is a really inexpensive truck. Now that's a fact, folks. Check it out for yourself. They're closer to $50,000 and $60,000 and up. But even a $40,000 7-year financing is over $555 a month. I personally cannot afford that, and that's just a fact. I'm not lying. I'm not bragging or complaining or anything else. Mr. Tank can afford that. People have their automobile payments are bigger than their house payments. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. I like new cars as well as everybody else, Melody. I mean, you know, I just tell you during the break there, I like to have one of the $100,000 new trucks and hope you buy me a red one. But I can't fathom, even if you have the money just to spare, if you have the money, why wouldn't you want to do something more useful with it? I mean, I have nothing wrong with having a nice car. I have two cars, a 2010, a 2013, got over 10,000 or 15,000 both of them now, and they're both running fine. I intend to keep them. But why wouldn't I want to do something if I had that kind of money to give somebody something that needed something? Or I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just kind of weird, I suppose. I don't know.
I mean, when people do make a little bit more money, they do have a tendency to, you know, to go into. It's a problem when you don't make that kind of money and you use debt to get it. And it's just like no different than our government. You know, they spend money they don't have. And, you know, it's everything is debt, debt, debt. They're all promises. And it's the world that we live in today. Is it the right world? I don't think so.
Well, if you finance a vehicle 7 years, if you have to finance it 7 years, you can't afford it.
You can't afford it. I mean, I can remember it was always OPM. It was always, you want to do OPM. You want to use other people's money. Mm-hmm. To do things, and I don't. To some extent, I agree with that, but I don't do it. You know, so it's get out of debt. Debt is, it's. But anyway, what's next?
Well, I just read, that Trump's still making a decision today. He's holding a conference today. He said. About his administration response to a string of unfavorable court rulings regarding reintroducing the citizenship question on the census. The president said if he doesn't get his way, he's going to do an executive order. Although the census begins, not too long from now, just a few months, a couple months away, and the census forms have already been printed, but Trump said he's going to insist that they have the citizenship question on there, and I have no problem with that. I really don't. So executive order might have it put on there. Of course, as Pelosi says, he's trying to make America white again by doing that. Stupid statement. But anyway, so I don't know what's going to happen to Billy, but he said that he's going to make an announcement today, I suppose. We will see.
Well, yeah, I was doing a little reading on this, and I didn't get it finished before the program. And, I mean, I don't have a problem with it on there either, but supposedly our Constitution says, and again, I'm not the scholar on the Constitution, but from what I was reading, this... The census falls under Congress.
That's true.
So if he wanted to get this change, he had to go through Congress. And if they didn't want to do it, then they couldn't be done. I don't know he can actually do it by an executive order. And if he does it by an executive order, that's going to be challenged. And I can't imagine that it would be... much of this, because I mean, we all agree, like, what's the big deal? And I get I understand what the purpose of the census is, and it would, you know, it really does. I don't know. I think people look at adding the census, they view it one way, and I think it's a little bit deeper than, and I really don't know what is. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, when the Constitution was written, obviously, I don't think they ever thought about the idea there'd be a census given to non-citizens. I would sure. Probably they assume that this would be by citizens who live here, so they could redistrict Congress the way it's supposed to be and appropriate funds. They never dreamed the idea that a third or more of a population would be immigrants and illegals on top of that. So I think the question needed personally, that's my opinion. In my opinion, $1.50 by a cup of coffee about anywhere. So.
Well, I mean, I agree with that. But the question is, it has to be done the right way.
Well, I understand, but I don't think it's going to happen that way.
No, but, you know, so, where's the issue? The issue isn't, it's Congress.
Are you trying to tell me that? Are you trying to tell me that our government is dysfunctional?
Not at all.
Oh my gracious!
So I don't know if he can just do it with an. We'll find out, but we'll have to, you know, find out. But this is a little, you know, We probably should find someone that's a little more of a scholar on this type of, you know, and interview them to see what they can. But I mean, I was listening to Judge Napolitano this morning, and you know, he pretty much said that he would do an executive order. That's what he was expecting him to do. But then again, if it falls under Congress, you know, does the executive order overrule Congress? I mean, it does, but
it does.
I don't know.
It actually isn't supposed to, but it does. Yeah, I understand that. Different topic now. You probably saw this, but Iran threatens to sink U.S. warships and destroy army bases as war fears loom. Iran's threatened to sink U.S. warships and destroy military bases with a missile salvo amid fears of a new war in the Middle East. Iranian commander Hossein Nagat launched a new fiery threat towards the U.S. amid the weeping row between Washington and the U.S. The two sides have been at loggerheads since U.S. President Donald Trump pulled out of the so-called nuclear deal. And then another article goes along the same way. The Royal Navy frigate trains guns on Iranian boats trying to storm Brit tanker in Persian Gulf, forcing them back off. It says a Royal Navy frigate was forced to train its weapons on three Iranian boats that tried to seize a British oil tanker off Iran yesterday. Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard tried to take control of the vessel as it passed through the Strait of Hormuz, sparking a tense standoff in the Persian Gulf, U.S. officials revealed. It's not over yet over there. It's not over at all. What's going to come out of this, I don't know. But you know, Iran is boasting that they're now producing more whatever they need to make nuclear weapons. And I can't see a reason why they can't, because Trump pulled out of the agreement, so that makes the agreement kind of null and void, doesn't it?
I would believe so.
Yeah, I mean, he broke the contract, and I'm not just saying they should or shouldn't. That's not the point. He broke the contract, so why should they have to maintain their end of it? I think it's a pretty reasonable question. I really, really do. No opinion? We'll move on. I can't believe Melody's quiet.
This, what do you mean by that?
This is something, I don't mean to sound nasty, but I'm glad I don't live in California or the West Coast or Nevada, because they've had 10,000 quakes in the last 7 days. 10,000 quakes. I don't care whether 1.0 or 7.8 or whatever. That's a lot of earthquakes, Melody. 10,053 to be exact, over the last 7 days. This article says, I've never seen that number so high, and Southern California is being hit by yet another new earthquake every few moments. Most of the earthquakes are happening out in the Ridgecrest area, where witnessed the magnitude 6.4 earthquake that hit on the 4th, magnitude 7.1 earthquake that hit on the 5th. But as you can see from Caltech map, there has been a tremendous amount of seismic activity along the San Andreas Fault as well. As I discussed the other day, the San Andreas Fault is locked and loaded and is way overdue for the big one. Could be possible that all of this earthquake activity is leading up to something really big. And it isn't just earthquakes that we need to be concerned about, according to Fox News. Geologists are nervously eyeing 8 nearby volcanoes, which I did not know about, by the way. California's uncanny earthquake pause is over. It should have already had several big ones, but now at all that pressure has to go somewhere. Now, geologists are nervously eyeing 8 nearby volcanoes. And why has Yellowstone supervolcano been acting so weird? That's a good question. I didn't think about volcanoes. And Yellowstone sits on top of a huge one. You know that.
Yes.
So if that would blow, from what I understand, if the volcano in Yellowstone would blow, according to what I just read in the article today, the whole country will be under 2 feet of ice in a matter of a few days. That would pretty much wipe everybody out, wouldn't it?
I think it would. So think about what it would do to the crops.
Oh my goodness! What would do to their houses? The houses couldn't stand the weight; they collapse.
Our lungs would collapse.
Pardon?
Our lungs would collapse.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to go somewhere where you'd be protected from the weight of the ice. But what would do outside when your whole house and lawn and everything around you is covered in 2 foot of ice? The trees would crash. Things would obviously not be able to breathe. You couldn't see the sun. Is it possible? Obviously, it is possible. It isn't pleasant to think about. That doesn't change the fact that it is possible.
And you know what usually happens? It just seems like, you know, we're being. It seems like everything is coming to a head, a peak. It just feels like everything is just building. And even if you took out, you know, half the bad news that we read about and so forth, there's just so much. I don't know. You feel the stress, the tension, and you see the buildup. All these weather incidences, and you know whether they're real, not real. They're there.
Yes, they're there.
And it's whether they're being built up. It's just like it feels like it's just everything is just like coming to a boil. And you know, and I think at the when it finally boils over, that is the financial system. And so many lives are going to be lost, just in addition to their not only their funds that they work so hard for, the simple things in life they're going to lose. We lost most of the really good things in our lives, our freedoms and our liberties. They're being lost, you know, as we speak. But everything else, it boggles the mind.
It does.
To see what type of things that can happen.
And it does. I mean, it's hard to even fathom this could happen, and we'll move on from that. But it's something folks be concerned about. Obviously, the 7.1 earthquake was a huge earthquake, and that's and I don't remember how it works as far as the numbers go. But from a 6.1 to 7.1 is like 1,000 times worse, if I remember reading that right. So each number is not like one number up; it's 1,000 numbers up to what the intensity of the last one. So that's something to think about. But if you're going to get in trouble with the law, Mel, they go to New York City. Because they're going to do away with Rikers Island. They're going to build 4 new prisons. It's going to be in Manhattan, Queens, and Brooklyn, and the Bronx. And you'll make sure that you have plenty of natural sunlight that for the prisoners to enjoy. And they want to make it more welcoming. More welcoming. Now, and especially for visitors, they want to make it more welcoming. Why would you want a jail to be a place where you feel welcome? I thought you were there to learn a lesson, not to do something again. A bunch of years ago, I took my 3 sons over to Huttonsville Correctional Center here in West Virginia, and I knew the warden. I sold them some things there, and I took my boys and my wife, Marsha Jean, went through the prison. They toured the prison. And they had things that I thought were pretty nice, you know, dorms and TVs and all that. But one big black guy, I looked down at my boys and said, "You don't want to be in here." And I think that was the most lasting impression they got, because that scared them to death. I want them to see that, you know, prisons are for real, Melody. They're not. They're not there for vacations. So, but they're going to build 4 new ones. That makes sense. It's going to cost $8.7 billion. New York's going to pay for it. New York's going to pay out of their tax monies. So the prisoners will feel more welcome. I thought that's wonderful.
That's the disturbing part of that is the taxpayers have to pay for it for
that's
these
exactly
private
right.
industries. For these private industries, they're using
that's
taxpayer
right.
money.
Exactly
because
right.
these are not government facilities, are they?
No, they're not. No, they're not. But see, people don't think about that. Most prisons now are privately run.
Yeah.
And it's a for-profit organization. That's why they want to populate them. Oh, no. Oh, yes, they do. Our article right here says that a Florida deputy was arrested for planting drugs on innocent people. Now, this, I'm making it up. This is all for real. I was going to try to find his name here. A former Florida sheriff's deputy was arrested for pulling people over, planting drugs on them. He had them convicted of 52 felony crimes, including racketeering and false imprisonment. I mean, he had all kinds of things he was convicted on for doing this. Jackson County Sheriff Deputy Zach Wester, W-E-S-T-E-R. So, yeah, folks, they do. This does happen. We have a lot of good cops. So we say, no, we don't. Yeah, we do. We have some good guys trying to do what's right the best they understand it. But there are corrupt cops out there, and they do get a head count, so to speak, that they want in people. And when prisons populate themselves with nonviolent criminals to produce goods or whatever and pay them a 25-cent day salary, they're making huge profits, Melody. And let's face it, the love of money is still the root of all evil, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So, you know, believe it if you want to or don't believe it. That's up to you, but I'm telling you the truth. So we can see this all falling together here. And one more quick thing. U.S. fast food drive through to start using facial recognition to pay your bills with. I'm not making it up. It's all here, folks. We'll see you next time. Go ahead, Melody.
Thank you, Butch. I did enjoy today's program. It was a lot of information and a few little laughs. So thank you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless. That's too bad.